we probably all have a set time to read our Bibles and pray and have our personal devotions and study or whatever. But I was wondering, what part of your day do you have slotted for thanks and praise? What's the time where you're going to say, Lord, thank you for creation? I walk my dogs in the morning and I say, Lord, thank you for the color blue. Thank you for branches. Thank you for a street I can walk on. Thank you that I can walk on a street in America. What is your section where we're thanking? And what is our little section where we're praying? Wonderful. You are the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I worry sometimes that we are not slotting the same amount of time. This is vital. Prayer is vital. But isn't praise and thankfulness? So let's not forget that. And I do want to say thank you. I'll tell you what, they talk about Southern hospitality. You want to have Southern hospitality, come to this church. I have been spoiled rotten. Every need, thought. I mean, they have a cooler over there filled with the cutest little waters. They've been feeding me all day. I mean, I drink one. She says, would you like another one? Anything I want. I was laying out on the grass. I was trying to get, you know, a little bit of fresh air and enjoy nature. And a thoughtful lady came up and said, you know, you're going to get chiggers. So isn't that thoughtful? I mean, that's thoughtful. That's Southern hospitality at its best. But thank you for the beautiful hotel room. We got to eat at Cracker Barrel, which is my number one favorite restaurant. It just spoiled me rotten. This beautiful bracelet, that's what they gave me when they were given gifts a minute ago. Just, I feel like a princess. But we are. You know, you're a daughter of the king. That makes you princess. I'm going to have to start immediately. Oh, I about don't have enough time, so I'm going to start right away. We got married, went to Bible college, had another baby. We still had the same hobby. And then, you know, my husband got called to Kentucky to start a church. And if you know anything about the Hollers of Kentucky, they will not go over a mountain to another church. So we started two churches. We had Bible Baptist Church in Veda, Kentucky, and then we had Wolf County Baptist Church in Wolf County, Kentucky, and we ran those for 6 years. So we do all services at one, drive over the mountain, do services another, drive back over the mountain, do services another, and then we'd have night services on Tuesday night at one place and Wednesday night the other place. I had 6 kids. I had a homeschool. We lived in a 400-square-foot house. We moved there, didn't have a bathroom. Our church didn't have heat, electric, and had outhouses. But that was just April showers and storms. During that time, I got cancer. I got cervical cancer. I consider that a storm. But like I told you, today I'm not talking about showers and storms and my husband, you know, they didn't have any money there. These were very impoverished Appalachian people. So to supplement their income, he dug graves. So he did the whole thing. He married you, buried you, sang to you in Sunday school, visited you in the hospital. It was the whole package. Dug them by hand with a shovel in the Kentucky Hill rocks. Lord called us to Illinois 17 years ago, and we've been serving at Calvary Baptist Church in farmland. All the corn, high fructose corn syrup you see in your products comes from my area. That's where they grow it. But about 4 years ago, I did teach at our Christian school full time at this point. And my son, there's a lot that went on in my life. My son and his wife and 2 children, missionaries in Africa, Ghana, Africa. And you talk about a storm when your son calls you and says there is the heathen tribe surrounding your house chanting with bought loudspeakers, like electric, like you'd see at a rock concert, blaring at their house, calling down Satan on them. And you got 2 grandbabies over there. Your son calls you and says your 18-month baby granddaughter has bots, which is where flies land on them and lay eggs, and they hatch out under the skin. And that's your grandbaby over in Africa, where they keep malaria, where they have to boil everything or soak it in Clorox, even their meat. And so that was some storms. That's a storm, but that's not what we're talking about today. I'm not talking about storms. Everybody gets storms. Those are things we have, and the Lord holds our hand. We don't go over them. We go through them with the Lord. But 4 years ago, the first week of October, my son called, and anytime he called, because of the time change, I stop. The world stops, and I'm talking to my son in Africa, and he says, "Mom, we just got back. My daughter-in-law is pregnant with our third baby." He said, "We just got back from having a sonogram, and the baby is sick." Now over there, they don't have OB care. What they do is, because we went over and visited them, they have a place probably as big as this platform, and they're all dressed up in the same fabric, like they buy a bolt of fabric, and everybody in the office gets matching outfits. This happened to be Obama faces, because he had just visited Ghana, so they had fabric with Obama, but he was upside down. I don't know if they couldn't tell which side was what, but I'm not going to go there. Anyway, that's what they were all wearing, and he sit there, and they take what would be pessoas. They take the money, and then there is a high-tech 3D sonogram machine, and just this guy sitting there, and you pay, and they do a sonogram of the baby, and that's basically your OB care. So they had not financially been able to do that, but they were, and she was 8 months along, and they went, and the guy wrote down, took pictures and gave it to her, and wrote anencephaly on the bottom. And Adam didn't know what that was, and he knew I'm an OBGYN nurse, and he called me, and he said, "Mom, on the sonogram, they say that our baby girl Audrey is sick and has anencephaly." Now, those of you who said, who knows what that is, I was standing at school and thinking, I'm going to talk to my son in Africa. And I went to my knees, and I said, "Anencephaly, what does the picture, email me the picture. And he emailed a picture of his third daughter, and what anencephaly is the skull does not close up properly, so your brain is out. And there was our little granddaughter with her little face and her little hands and her little feet 8 months along, with like dreadlocks floating in the amniotic fluid. Well, my husband and I instantly got finances together so they could fly back to the States to, let's get you to the States. We got them there. They immediately took them, as soon as they landed, to Vanderbilt Hospital in Tennessee, and they did another sonogram, and it was the same. The doctor had delivered the other two babies because they came back to the States to have their babies, and just had tears running down his face. And of course, we were devastated. If you cannot survive with your brain outside your head. That's not something, as far as our medical system has advanced, we don't know how to fix that issue. And of course, we were very devastated at the point. And I'm going to find my place because I get emotional and I forget where I'm at. So they told my son and my daughter-in-law that they had a couple of options. One option was to carry the baby full term, and she would not survive the delivery because, without being graphic, you can imagine, you just cannot do that. Or they could do a C-section and lift baby Audrey out of the womb, and she would be alive a few minutes where they could hold her. And my son tells me that anyone here would be devastated. We were devastated for them. And they had pulled over to the side of the road after all this news and just wept and wept and had wept so much that a passing motorist stopped and asked them if they needed help and what was wrong. And that motorist said, trust in God, which is what we all would say, trust in God. But what I found in my life through this was there's another level of trust in God. We went down, and what started happening is Audrey, the baby, started dying, and as she was dying, she was causing Cecia, the mom, to be toxic. The baby's systems were shutting down, and so Cecia's systems were shutting down, and her life was going to be in danger. And so me and my daughter, Elizabeth, we went down there so we could watch the other two children. She was going to go to Vanderbilt Hospital that Monday, and they were going to have to make some very difficult decisions. We say we trust the Lord, but I find in my life, I'm not a stupid woman. I'm not a woman who can't do anything. And I found that in things before this, I had some trust in myself, some trust in my husband, and some trust in my Lord. But this situation made me realize that why wasn't I 100% in the Lord? There was nothing my husband could do. There was nothing I could do. There was nothing the doctors could do. This was 100% God. I had on Saturday, Ceci and I had gone to one of the little boutique stores and bought little Audrey a beautiful christening gown. And we had planned that when she was born, we were going to take pictures with her. And we got a little bonnet so that it would, you know, not show the anencephaly. And so we're there, and the two older children went to sleep, and Elizabeth was watching them. Now, this is very carnal of me, but I'm just going to be very transparent here. I had left my makeup at home. And it's okay to laugh. And I thought, if I'm going to have pictures made with my granddaughter in heaven, I want to look nice, because I'm not going to get other pictures with her. And I'm not going to get a lot of chances to be with her. This is going to be it. So I decided to go to the mall to buy makeup, because I buy mall makeup. And I decided I'm going to go to the mall and get makeup and get it all beautified. But when I was walking to the makeup counter, they had purses on sale. So I thought, I want to look. I know you're thinking, what a wicked woman. And you would never do that. But maybe it was diversion. So I had this lady help me. I got a purse and a pair of shoes. And then I'm at the makeup counter. Well, the shoes matched it. It was gray with a cute little bow on it. And how often do you find shoes with gray with a cute little bow with the same patent sheen? I mean, really. Now, let's be serious here. This is trusting God. So when I went up to the makeup counter, and I had been physically looking like there was something wrong with me, plus I didn't have makeup, and I told the lady, I said, I don't know my colors. I need a makeover, and I'm going to buy the makeup. And I told her the story of my son and my baby, grandbaby Audrey, who was probably going to be born that day, and they were going to call us when she was born, and we were going to rush over to the hospital. So I'm weeping a little, and she's putting makeup on me. And I thought, I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Every woman here knows that verse. But when you are in a situation like this that is going to change your life, your entire family's life, and the life of my son and my daughter-in-law and the brother, my other grandchildren, trust takes on a whole other level. You are looking at God, and I looked at God and had to say, I trust you with all my heart. I'm not trusting in a doctor. And how I knew I was trusting the Lord with all my heart is the Lord showed me, thank you, Lord. Thank you for how you're working in this and how the end of this will be. Thank you. I am choosing now to trust in you, and in that trust, I know 100% you will do what's best for the Ogle family, and with that, I give you thanks and praise right now. That's the trust I want to give you. I trust you. You are sovereign. You will do the best for my family. Thank you. I have the greatest God in the world. God, you're so good to us. You've blessed us so much, and you are blessing us right now. That's how I knew in my hurricane typhoon, I had reached to trust the Lord with all my heart. While I'm sitting there getting this makeover, the phone rang. And I always tell people, I do look, and if it's my husband, I always answer. If it's someone else, I don't, because I'm talking to you. I feel like it would be rude if I was talking to someone else, but it was my son, Adam, and I had already explained to the lady. And so I picked up my phone. I said, hello, and he said, Mom, Audrey's fine. And I went, fine, where? Because when you go to heaven, you're fine. Yeah. And he was so solemn. He said, no, Mom, they just did another sonogram. They were going to do a C-section. And her brains are in her head and closed up. Well, I drop the phone on the ground, and it's not not in a vain way or in a inappropriate way. I was like, oh my Lord, oh my God. It was in a praiseful way, not in a disrespectful way at all, and I dropped the phone. Well, the lady who I had told to, she came over and put her arm around me, and so did the lady from the shoe and purse department. And they put their arm around me, and they were like, it's okay. And I said, no, she's fine. God healed her. I have the God of healing. Do you know the God of this healing? And we all were crying. They said, no, ma'am, we don't. I said, let me show you about the God of our healing. And the woman in the purse department and the woman in Lancôme makeup department, they trusted Christ as their Savior. I'm getting chills. Think about it. My son was out of his mind. My daughter-in-law, we decided, what do you do when you're out of your mind? You go eat. So he said... He said, we're going to meet at this restaurant. I zoomed home. I got Elizabeth. I got my two other grandbabies, and we meet at this restaurant. Boo can witness all this. I know sometimes speakers embellish. This isn't even close to telling you what happened that day. We get in there. They were already seated. It was a place where they seat you. I don't even know what the name of the restaurant was. I go in, and there was a nice lady right here. I said, hi, I'm Robin Ogle. My family's already here, but guess what God did for us today? My granddaughter, she had anencephaly, and her brains were floating around like dreadlocks, her brain in her womb, and God took those brains and put it in and closed it up and stuffed them back in her head, and she's absolutely fine, and do you know the God of that miracle? And she said, no, ma'am, I don't. I said, let me show you. And she got saved. We're sitting at the table. I'm wetting my pants. I can't even hardly eat. I'm having a nervous breakdown. And the little boy, his name was Jason. I'll never forget it. Boo, do you remember this? And he's asking for orders, and I'm sitting there all excited like this. And I said, Jason, guess what happened to us today? God did a miracle. I had a grandbaby, and she had anencephaly, and she was in Africa, and her brains were floating around her head like dreadlocks, and God took those brains and put them in and closed it up and stuffed it up. And do you know the God of that miracle? He said, no, ma'am, I don't. I said, let me show you. I haven't got over it. I trusted God. I thanked him. I never thought that's what he would do for my family, but it didn't matter. Amen. It didn't matter. That's how it ended for Audrey. But if I had finished the story today and said, my little granddaughter, I went, I got my makeup, and I took my picture with her, and God is good because I trusted him, and he always does what good, and the outcome doesn't change my trust. Does the outcome change your... Boy, I felt like I was preaching there. I'm sorry. Ooh, let me get humble and submissive again. Does the outcome change your trust? But it's in my heart. Does your outcome change your trust? It doesn't change mine. I'm shaking thinking about it. That weekend was Christian Womanhood Spectacular. I was supposed to speak at it, Loretta, for Jane Grafton. I didn't think I'd be able to be at it, and I told her, and she said, well, I'll speak at it, but if you can get here, it's fine. We're not going to, and I said, I told her, I said, cancel me, that's fine. She says, no, I'll do it if you can't be there. So my daughter is speeding from Nashville to get to Hammond, Indiana, to get to Women's Spectacular, and I'm in the back seat, laptoping away, and she went over the speed limit. So we got pulled over. So I'm in the back seat behind the driver, and here comes Mr. Policeman, rolled in the window, ma'am, can I have your driver's registration? And I'm in the back seat. Hey, guess what happened to us? My grandbaby, she's my son's a missionary in Africa, and she had anencephaly, which is your brains floating around in your womb, and it was all floating around, and God took those brains and put them in and stuffed it in, and God did that as a miracle. And do you know Christ is your Savior? He says, yes, ma'am, I do. Here's your license. Go ahead and go on. Not even a warning, nothing. So go. Because I'm there. Guess what happened to us? 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 But I promise you, I hope I would be just as excited here. Guess what happened to me? My grandbaby's in heaven. I have the hope of heaven. It's in my Bible. I'll see her someday. My trust in all my heart does not depend on the outcome of a situation. My trust is in the Lord, regardless of my circumstances. 3 years ago in August, we got to go on a family vacation. Now, there's 22 of us. So you don't go to somebody's house. You go to Branson and rent a log cabin. And y'all get your own bedrooms and your own space, and you cook together and go fishing together, and you do all that fun stuff. And while I was there, I got sick. I wasn't feeling well, and I took some naps with the babies. They were talking to me, a big baby. I think it was just too much. I thought, it's just too much fun, way too much fun. And I didn't feel well that fall. I didn't feel well that January. My daughter had a baby in March. In Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and she was trying to get back in shape and was doing this torture P90 something. Oh my goodness, that is, God is not in that. No. And I'm being sincere, you're laughing. Where in the Bible is it, do exercise till you throw up? I am so against every form of exercise, it's pathetic. You know how I exercise? I cook, I clean, I wash my floors, I hang my laundry on the line, and I chase babies and grandbabies. That's my exercise. But so she's wanting me to do this with her. Come on, Mom. I'm like, oh, my soul. So, I mean, it's insane what they have. I think it was called insanity. Is that a thing? That's what it was. It was insanity. Well named. So I'm doing that, and I threw out my neck. But we were fixing to drive home, so I just got and laid down in the back of the car, and I laid down. I felt like my neck was out, and it was killing me, and my head was killing me. 2 days later is our ladies' meeting. Go to the ladies' meeting. I end up going to the doctor's. I had slipped 2 discs in my neck, so I'm in a neck collar. I feel horrible. I'm sick. And my head is throbbing. That night I go to the doctors, find out I had shingles in my brain. Go figure. They didn't pop out. They popped in from here around here in my brain. And so that was one of the problems. So they were treating me for that and helping with that, but I still was not getting better. It was not till that August that they found out, they don't know how long I had it, but I have Lyme disease. Now, it's getting a little bit more prevalent in the news now, but I literally, because of the shingles in my brain, the Lyme disease attacked my brain. And Lyme is a bacteria. It looks like a corkscrew. So what it did is it had been probably 9 months that I had it. Those corkscrews screw into your brain, and then they get a biofilm over them that protects them from our natural fighting system, the antibodies. And then when it grows and grows and grows in that little bubble biofilm, and they get so many in there, it bursts, and you have these wicked attacks that your body cannot fight. I was put on antibiotics, but I lost my mind. And I cut my hair. I ran away. My daughter was in college. She had to leave college to come home to take care of me. I couldn't talk. I couldn't walk. I couldn't get dressed. I would cry all day long. Loretta, the verse I claimed was the one you talked about earlier, about bringing in captivity our thoughts. I wanted to do that. I love that verse, but my brain wouldn't let me do it. We lived on a little farm. I couldn't take care of the chickens, my horses. I couldn't ride anymore. I couldn't get up. I couldn't drive. I could not read the Bible. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't stand to hear anything or see color. I basically had, I would say 6 months, boo, had to sit in a dark room and just sat there all day quiet. When I had bad attacks, like if I talked too much, like had too much of a conversation, I would be like an insane person you'd see on TV, and I would run away, and I would hide under the hay and wouldn't tell my husband or my daughter where I was when they were calling for me. I would run away in the snow. I'd just run away. No boots, no coat, just run away. Cooking, I'd turn stuff on the stove, just leave the stove on, catch things on fire and just watch it. Put my hands in grease that you're cooking French fries in. No, I'm talking crazy. It made me absolutely crazy. I lost the farm, the chickens, my gardening, canning, turkeys, horses, my burn barrel, my compost heap. I lost traveling, writing, my job, being a pastor's wife, music, color, driving, dressing. Couldn't talk on the phone. 2 years. 2 years. Third point, when you're in something like that, girls, yeah, you better turn to the Lord. Yeah, you better trust the Lord. But you better be surrendered to the Lord. See, I thought I was surrendered. Didn't you hear all that great stories how I followed God and stayed in North Carolina? Did you catch that? If I hadn't stayed where God told me to stay in North Carolina, not move with my parents, it would have been a little bit, God would have had to do a little bit more maneuvering for me to meet my husband now, Greg, at that Waffle House. I had turned to him. I trusted him. I'd already been through that thing with Audrey. I went to Bible college with 5 kids and had another baby. Like I said, I had had cancer. I felt like I was a surrendered woman. But until he started taking it all, did I realize how much I was holding on to me and my Christian school teacher job, and being a pastor's wife, getting to fly and speak places. I could not get, this is the first trip, isn't it, boo, I have been able to fly alone in 3 years. It is a miracle I am here. I don't speak anymore. I used to, a little bit, you know, here and there. I can't speak anymore. You know why? Too much color. Why, it may seem I'm not friendly, like, I would love to go around and meet you and you and you, but if I have too many people, too many conversations, I'll start crying. And once I start crying, I won't be able to talk. That's why I was laying down there in the grass trying to get chiggers. I have to be away from people and just quiet and bring my thoughts into captivity. I'm able to do that now. I wasn't able to do that for 2 years. James 4:7, submit yourself, therefore, to God. I know we all have our little funny things we say about submitting to our husbands. We're not submitted to God. What is it you have that you're holding on to that's God? Is it your health? I don't want to get sick like that. I don't want to be a crazy woman like that. I don't want to not be able to cook or clean or be a wife or a grandmother or a mother for years and be sick and crazy. Not just sick, crazy. I mean crazy. My husband would have to, and my daughter Elizabeth, bless her heart, she put her life on hold for 3 years for me. I would obey. I knew to obey. I didn't know how to think to do right, but I would obey. So my husband would write rules for me on the refrigerator. You're not allowed outside. And if I didn't know what to do, I would go read that, and I knew to obey it. No cooking. Stay in your room. Read a book when I could finally read. And he would write, and Boo would write things for me, and I would obey. Now, I couldn't remember if you told me something to obey, but once I could learn how to read again, I could read it and I would do it. Are you holding on to your health? Are you holding on to your Sunday school class, your job, your babies? I want my baby to live down the road and have roast with me on Sunday, so do I. But I was holding on to them. I had to go like this. And guess what? God moved them all over the United States to serve him and in foreign countries. You're thinking, I'm not going to do that. Then you're not submitted to the Lord. And there's a part of you that isn't surrendered. Through those 2 years, I thought, well, I'm surrendered now. Good night. I can't even make it to the ladies' room by myself. I can't fix my hair. I can't pick out my clothes. I had to have a girl come to my house and hold my undergarments for me to put on. When I'm telling you, loss of everything, and to sit there and cry constantly, and to constantly shake and cry and not be able to speak and not understand. I don't know how many times I told my daughter, is this limes? Is this lime? Is this lime? Is this lime? Am I okay? Am I going to be okay? And how she lovingly would put her arm around me and say, you're okay, Mom. It's okay. Come on. Come on, let's go lay down in the bed. You've had a big day. Yeah, I had a big day. I got dressed. Through that, I thought, well, I'm surrendered now. And in those 2 years, my son went to Afghanistan to fight. Thought I'd surrendered it all. Nope. Lord, he's yours. My grandson found out he was allergic to fire ants, got in a fire ant pile, and in Mississippi they had to air flight him to Jackson, about killed him. He's your God. My granddaughter was born with one kidney not functioning and the other one enlarged. I surrender all. My mother was taking care of my daddy. He had Alzheimer's, and she got sick one weekend, and we took her to the emergency room. She lives in Virginia. Found out she had brain cancer. She never came home. Boy, they don't talk about the loss of your mama, but boy, isn't it hurt. Those of you whose mama's gone on, you never get over it, do you? So in the middle of all that, I had take my daddy home with me to watch with Alzheimer's. And my baby girl, Boo, had to take care of a whack job mother and a whack job grandfather. Now that I think of it, we were pretty much the same there. And then you girls of my age and older, you know how it is when it gets to the point you have to put him in a nursing home. You can't care for him anymore. And he would cry and say, I'm sorry. What did I do wrong? I won't do it again. Please bring me home. I give it to you, God. I surrender. I won't even hold on to my daddy. I won't hold on to my hurt heart. I won't hold on to my broken heart that I couldn't be with my mama when she took her last breath because I had to be with my daddy. I surrender it, Lord. This is all while I'm a total whack job. This past summer in June, got bit by another tick, got Lyme again. My husband said, "What are the odds, Rob, of you getting it twice?" I said, 100%. Maybe there's something, Loretta, I still need to, what am I holding on to? And my prayer daily is, Lord, I don't want to have anything. Even the talk here, this isn't what I would have said. But it's like, Lord, I surrender to you. Maybe I'll sound like the biggest idiot in the whole world. I don't know. But I'll have to for you. Because surrendering to his sovereignty brings serenity. When I surrender to my Lord, when I turn to my Lord, when I trust in my Lord, when I give him everything I have, even with all that going on in my life, I have joy. Joy unspeakable and filled with glory. And that doesn't change. Doesn't change when my mama died. Didn't change when my daddy died. Didn't change when my grandson was sick, my granddaughter, my son in Afghanistan, he's fixing to go again. And you know what his job is? To take care of bombs. They find bombs and he goes and makes sure they're defused so people don't get blowed up. What kind of job is that for a son, for a good Christian mommy? Give me a heart attack. Surrender, surrender. You know, there was a reason for Christ's suffering. Not that at all compare ours to his, but there's a reason for ours too. Girls, do we turn to God? I mean, turn. Not just say it, do it. Girls, are we trusting him with all our heart, no matter what? And girls, what are we holding on that he's prying our fingers away? Why don't we just give it to him? Why don't we just give it to him? God has been good to this girl. You know, there might be a hurricane in your life today, and it's going to be different from your tsunami and different from your flood and different from your typhoon. And it's going to be total devastation, and you're going to need to rebuild. But when you do, you better turn to God and trust in him and surrender to what he has for you. Amen.